This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, if you've been listening to the show for a little while, you might remember that at the start of this year, Helen Burridge of the Hearts Climate Change and Sustainability Partnership, or the HCCSP, joined me here on Environment Matters to ask us to fill in a questionnaire to say what it was that was stopping us making energy-saving improvements to our homes. Well, 1,267 of us did just as asked. And the results of the survey confirmed that there is a market for retrofit in Hertfordshire, but many residents don't know where to start, who to trust, or how to coordinate the work. So to help us with these issues, the HCSSP Retrofitting Your House Guide has been prepared, especially for people living in Hertfordshire. I invited Helen Burridge to join us back on Environment Matters, and I started by asking her what was meant by retrofitting.
So retrofitting really is anything that you do to your house after it's been built to improve it a bit. Could be anything from putting solar panels on your loft through to redoing a kitchen. It's just a different word for improving your home after it is already a house already.
Now, the kind of thing that this guide is helping us with is the kind of retrofitting that will be reducing the emissions from our house. So there's obviously environmental benefits. Are there other reasons why we should be doing this as well?
The word retrofit is a really frustrating one that's ended up being the mainstream word for making your house better, warmer, cozier, more efficient to run. England as a whole, but Hertfordshire particularly, has some of the oldest housing stock in the world. Our houses are often over 100 years old and aren't designed to stand up to the kind of use that we do. We have showers in our houses that often many houses weren't designed to have, the amount of moisture in the air. And so actually it's less around this concept of emissions, which is important. Carbon emissions are important. Using energy is important in reducing our energy use. But ultimately, the health benefits to improve the air quality in your house, creating consistent temperatures. You don't have rooms that are boiling hot in the summer and freezing cold in the winter. You don't have drafts when you're trying to sit down of an evening. If you can reduce your bills and have some kind of assurances that you're not going to have these horrific spikes up and down. Also, sometimes even retrofitting is often packaged up in general improvements to your house. So it's most likely that if you put insulation on the outside of your house, that's going to help your house look better, might improve the value of the house. But I think there are so many different reasons to think about how you make your house more energy efficient while you are living in it and improving it. And I think the retrofit package is quite complicated, which is why we've put together this guide.
You say we've put together this guide. Exactly who has done it? How do we know that we can trust the advice that it gives us?
You're right. There's a lot of information out there. I represent the Hertfordshire Climate Change and Sustainability Partnership, which is all 10 district and borough councils, the county council and the Hertfordshire Futures, the former local enterprise partnership. And so the public sector has been looking at what barriers there are to people making changes to their homes for energy efficiency. What we've discovered is that people understand that things probably need to change in their home. They don't know where to start. They don't know what questions to ask. They don't know what kind of builders they should be looking at. And there is so much information out there. Initially, we were keen not to add more information into it, but obviously a local information source is much more trustworthy. And by pulling together valuable sources of information across the country, we've been able to make sure that the public feels that they can trust this piece of information.
Now, obviously, in this country, in Hertfordshire, we've got some really old houses. So is it just old houses that need retrofitting?
Unfortunately not. I mean, depending on the type of house that you live in, there will definitely be something that can be done to improve its energy efficiency. So it might be that an entire getting it back to brick and almost starting again, that might be necessary. Or it might even be something simple like a little bit of lagging around where the skirting board is attached or other smaller interventions. There will always be something that can be done to improve your energy efficiency, which means that you're going to be paying less for finding energy from the grid and then potentially it blowing out of open windows or gaps in your floorboards or anything else.
Right. Okay. I mean, it did come as a surprise to me that even really very modern houses, there's suggestions for an awful lot of improvements that should be made. I mean, aren't we best, if we can afford it, knocking down the house and starting again and building something that's really energy efficient and good to live in its place?
That is an option. It's very rarely cost effective. It is often a total and complete waste of materials. And also it would change the character of all of our towns and villages that we love so much. So while knocking it down and starting from scratch might be what my son would call the Lego response of just, I've done it, I've had enough. Ultimately, there are always improvements that can be made, and using the materials that we already have and being sympathetic to the buildings that we live in can really make improvements that can mean our incredible heritage and our more modern homes can stand for many more years to come.
Yeah, indeed. There's an awful lot of information in this guide, 75 pages long. How do you suggest that we use it?
When I started looking at retrofit, I'm quite new to this myself. You might hear from my answers that I'm very aware of the challenges of the task, and I'm not a builder or surveyor or a retrofit professional. Me and my family know that we need to do work to improve our house. As you say, there is a lot of information out there. We've got a 1930s semi. There must be other people that have done it. You might look at five different houses and they've all approached it slightly differently, even within the boundaries of 1930s semi. If you even want to think about getting a quote, you don't know, are we talking £10, £1,000, £10,000 or even more? And I think in that early stages, when you're just trying to get a handle on what is it that's possible, what is it that I could do tomorrow? What is it that I can think about in the next 5 years that we might be doing? For homeowners, I think to understand the vastness and the options with things like kitchens and bathrooms, there are TV programs, there are magazines, but you have a vague steer as to what orders of magnitude might look like. I think with the varying different interventions that you can have with retrofit, it's really important for me to understand what the shopping list could look like. So the way to use the guide, when you open it up, there is a general introduction as to what retrofit could be and a general introduction to all of the different interventions that you will hear, a little bit like a sort of a dictionary of terms that you'll hear in the rest of the guide. Cambridge City Council originally created this guide. And when I came across it, I was so excited to see how many similar interventions there are for the same property types. These are called archetypes. There were these waves of house building that happened in Victorian terraces, 1930s semis, 1950s new towns. And of course, although there are variations between individual houses, the vast majority of 1930s semis or Victorian terraces are much of a muchness. And we can look at one and have an archetype. And for a sample of this kind of house, there are certain things that are best to do to it that wouldn't be applicable to a 1950s new townhouse. And so using this archetype model, we very kindly agreed with Cambridge City Council to use their content and apply that to Hertfordshire so that you can look at the information that's relevant to your type of house. This covers the seven most common archetypes in Hertfordshire. So not every single house is going to be listed, but you will at least get a general steer on the kinds of sums of money that it might cost to put these interventions in place and the kind of order of operations that will mean that you won't be having to undo things at the wrong order or do things out of turn.
Yes, it has to be said that I love the way in which the guide, it even gives you a photo of a house and you can think, oh, actually, yes, that looks like my house. So what do I have to do with that? And then you see, you know, as you say, a Victorian terrace, a modern house, different types of houses, and then details about if you've got a house like that, this is what you should do. His diagrams, his charts with costs. It's all really laid out. There's a lot of information, but laid out really very clearly. So I just wondered, I mean, a lot of people have already started doing some things with their house. Is the guide still useful, even if you've started doing some things? Because it sounds as if there's kind of a method and order that's suggested for doing things.
ultimately, everyone's going to start their journey from the point that they're at, which is a quite unhelpful sentence, I suppose. But I think you are where you are. The house is where it is. And there will be improvements that will be able to be made. And so at the point that you start thinking, yeah, at some point, we must have a look at that roof. At some point, we must think about this. At some point, oh, that wall is always getting a bit cold in the winter. Or ooh, what's that mold doing there? Or those little questions, you might be able to get some of that information from this guide and start thinking about what your journey might look like, what you need to do next. I think there's a lot of opportunity to think about your home as your investment, which is how a lot of people, in homeowners in Hertfordshire, will consider their house an investment that they will develop. I think there's a risk with retrofit that it needs to financially pay back pound for pound on that investment. That's not how we approach bathrooms. That's not how we approach kitchens. This is looking at how you are going to make your house a good building that functions and operates for the health and well-being and comfort of your family. The main takeaway from the guide is a way to start doing your research and have ammunition to start thinking about the questions that you will ask the professional that takes the next step. We support DIY if you have the skills to do it. But unfortunately, and why we produce the guide, retrofit is incredibly complicated. And there are many opportunities, for example, putting plastic-based paint onto a wall to try and keep moisture out is only going to create a buildup of moisture behind that layer of plastic. Buildings need to breathe. There are heritage buildings that might have particular challenges that you will need to talk about with a professional, with your building professionals, with the council potentially and conservation expertise. Even if it's a modern house, those knock-on impacts of work is really complicated. And we're still learning a lot about how to do some of these things, and the technology is moving all the time. On that basis, the way that we suggest you use this guide is use it as a way to geek up and nerd up on what it is, in the same way that you'd flick through kitchen and bathroom brochures and have an idea about what it is you're going to ask the professionals when they come round. This is going to help you do your research so that you'd ask the right questions and avoid the challenges that some people have fallen into.
Yes, indeed. And there can be challenges, can't there? I mean, I was quite impressed that throughout the guide, you do highlight the pitfalls. Was that an important part of putting the guide together?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think what we're trying to do is to keep an eye on those watch outs and just keep in the back of your mind moments. There's a lot of expertise and knowledge out there, but obviously it's only going to be increased by people sharing their experiences. So, for example, there are any number of different ways to approach air source heat pumps, or solar panels, or charging facilities for your car, or battery storage, or anything else. And I think if we provide you with four or five different ways to approach that challenge, think about whether that's going to be too noisy for your neighbors. Think about whether you've got the room to do this. Think about whether that's going to have a knock-on impact on the moisture content in the air. All of those little things will just keep in mind what you need to be talking about when you have those conversations.
Now, you've mentioned retrofit assessors, and a lot does seem to rest on finding a retrofit assessor who will help you decide what needs doing to your house and in the kind of order. Is there any help with finding one of these? I don't know any, and I'm not sure where I'd start off finding one.
Obviously, because the guide has been put together by local authorities, we're not able to specifically promote any individual businesses. However, of course, organisations like Trustmark, the Energy Saving Trust, are able to recommend those who have fulfilled certain criteria and have demonstrated certain capabilities. There are also some links to heritage housing information and other sources so that you can do that research yourself. It's always important to get three quotes. And of course, if you're in any doubt at all, don't part with any money. Unfortunately, there are a number of organisations that have been brought to light who are claiming access to funding that doesn't exist, or claiming access to a magic wand that unfortunately we have also not found. Obviously, as with any building project, and particularly with a major investment, do the research, look for trusted traders and make sure that you have got a number of quotes and possibly even some recommendations. There is a lot of this work going on across Hertfordshire at the moment. If you see someone with scaffolding up, go and have a chat with them. If you see somebody, a business that you think looks like it might work, ask if you can go and talk to one of the previous customers. That kind of work is going to pay dividends, particularly if you intend to do your retrofit over a number of years. If you're clear on what your plan is, over a number of years, then you can take those steps as you are able to finance them.
So Helen, as we've said, this can be a very, very expensive process. Is there any point in us looking at this guide if actually, frankly, we just don't have the money to spend on it?
The average full house retrofit in the UK costs about £30,000, but there are many, many things that can be done at low or no cost, and also with low or no long-term impact on the house. So particularly if you're a renter, or if you haven't got £30,000 down the back of your sofa, I certainly don't at the moment. So there's certainly a whole load of tips in there, and I would strongly suggest that you have a look, even if you aren't considering the full shebang.
Indeed. Well, this is definitely something, as you say, a long-term project for most of them, which with the guide's help, we can start on. What's the next step for the HCCSP? What are you doing now to help?
We're aware that it's a very complicated ecosystem, making sure that the public know what is available, what they can do to their house, that the financial support is there in the form of maybe loans or grants that might be needed. If the building trades need to be upskilled and the public trust in the trades needs to be embedded, we need to make sure that those who are already tradespeople and working in the industry are trained on new technologies. And then we also need to keep an eye on the material supply chain to make sure that the supplies to do the retrofit, whether we're talking about solar panels or heat pumps or underfloor or anything else, the groundwork has been laid for that as well. So that at the point that somebody makes that inquiry, they aren't then struggling to find the tradesperson, or the tradesperson isn't struggling to find the materials. So that complicated ecosystem has been in development for the last few years, and we are looking forward to creating an environment where householders feel confident that when they look for retrofit in Hertfordshire, they will find what they need. And we're looking forward to creating a strategy that addresses those challenges in the next 6 to 12 months.
Helen, thank you so much for telling us about that.
Thank you for having me.
I'll pop a link to the HCCSP Retrofitting Your House Guide into the notes that go with the podcast of this show, and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.